In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Hallelujah. Father, tonight we are here to receive from you. We raise an altar with our worship, with our prayers, with our cries. Let us experience your wisdom, your presence, and your power. Under this atmosphere, Lord, let your word come forth with power, with wisdom, with grace. As your word comes forth, let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. Let divine visitations come to everyone here. Let the desires of our heart and our earnest expectations be met in your presence. May we not go back the same. Touch us in a mighty way. Let us drink from the fountains of your presence. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Please be seated. Welcome to Pneumatech. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we ready tonight? It's important that when we come, we spend good time to pray and to worship. I'd like you to know that every time you worship and pray like this in the presence of God, you are ascending. You are moving to higher dimensions of His glory. You are ascending new heights in the spirit. God does not want you to come before Him and go back the way you came. He wants you to increase. He wants you to accelerate. He wants you to ascend to new levels. But you must be ready to press. That's why we pray and we press in His presence. Amen. There are things that God will not be able to do in your life, not because He's not able, but because the spiritual frequency that you are in is too low for Him to touch you. The energy needs to be increased. That's the reason why we take our time to do this. So I encourage you, when you come in the presence of God, don't wait till I come up stage. Every opportunity you have to pray, to worship, give it your all. As you worship and as you pray, you are ascending to new heights in the spirit. Huh? There is a height God wants you to meet Him. And you'll meet Him in that place today. In the name of Jesus. I want to say some few things before I get to the word, and then we'll pray. God is doing amazing things in our lives in this season. And for many of us, God is about to do certain things that will blow your mind. I sense that we are in a season of a travail. We are, in comparison to a woman that is about to give birth. Yes, that moment when the woman is travailing with labor pains. That's where I sense many of us are. That's where your destiny is. And so it will be important with that understanding to give time to prayer and to worshiping in the presence of God this season. You are travailing to bring forth in the spirit. Anything that must manifest in the physical must first become a reality in the realm of the spirit. You can only manifest what you have birthed in the spirit. And that's what happens when we gather like this. Many of you are birthing. You may not understand it. If you don't understand it, I'm sorry, but it just shows your level of spirituality is low. And that's why you need to be in meetings like this, so that spiritually you can be upgraded to understand what God is doing. Understanding is the bridge between you, where you are now, and what God has already done for you. So, what just happened now? Many of us have birthed some things as touching your destiny, as touching your life. You have given birth to some things in the spirit. In the days ahead, it will begin to manifest. That's why people come to church and go back and experience breakthroughs. It's not just automatic. There's something behind. There's a mechanism. When you labor in his presence, you begin to give birth to possibilities. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And in this season, may God cause you to bring forth according to his divine purpose and his plan for your life. So that many of you, where you are now, God is releasing divine speed and acceleration. In the name of Jesus Christ. During the week, I know many of us saw let me start with my face. I've been experiencing some issues medically, but thank God that it's under control. And that's the reason why my face is like this. It's not so obvious because I had to do a makeup today. Say amen. Amen. Somebody said, Jesus, what is wrong? What is wrong? Is he a bad thing? So I had to call one of our sisters to come and make me up today. Amen. I believe by next week when we start the 3 days of divine visitation, I would have healed. If not 100%, perhaps 80%. Amen. But I was not going to let that stop me from preaching. Amen. It's just my face that is having issues. Mentally, I am sound. I am not depressed. I'm not discouraged. There's nothing wrong with me. Physically, I am as strong as a horse. I'm telling you, I can stand here till 12 midnight. Say amen. So it's my face that is having issues, not me. I'm fine, okay? And as long as I have breath in my nostrils, I will keep preaching. In sickness or in health. In riches or in poverty. Till death. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how me I take my own call, you know. As long as I have breath, I will always come here to give you God's fresh word and to minister the life of God to you. Amen. And so I want you to learn from me. Don't allow one little thing in your life make you so depressed and discouraged. No. I'm fine. I just had to restrict my movement so that I don't explain too much to people during the week. But it didn't steal my confidence at all. I still did all my broadcasts online. Amen? My confidence is not in my face or in anything I have. My confidence is in my spirit. If you want to deconfidence me, then you have to remove my spirit. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. The understanding of the identity of my image in Christ is stronger to me than this face. Amen? So learn from me. When I don't hear, know that you have one small headache and you will not come to church. Amen. Number two. I want to just buttress a little bit on the program 3 days of divine visitation. I was wondering why nothing was displayed on the screen when the announcement was being made. Now, I beg you in the name of God. We've never had special programs like this. 3 days at a stretch. Huh? Of the power of the grace of God, of the anointing of the Spirit, of miracles, signs, and wonders. We've never had it like that before. We just have miracle service, and then you'll have to wait for any of our conferences. Media, thank you for that. So please, I beg you, make sure you are here. We're starting next Sunday, 30th of March, Monday and Tuesday, 3 p.m. all through. Monday and Tuesday is holiday. Abby, I know you are waiting for them to announce it. We have seen it, that they will announce it before time. So this public holiday, no rest for you. Come and rest in the presence of God. Pack all your problems and come those 3 days. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There will be grace enough. I don't know, maybe that's why all of these things are happening. Usually anytime we're going to have a major program, there's always one issue that will happen around me. But the devil must have learned by now that it doesn't move me. Amen? If he has not learned, he should learn after 2 years. Maybe by that 2 years when he has learned, I would have done enough damage to the kingdom of darkness. Amen? So 3 days of the power of God like never before. No much preaching. It will just be ministering the grace, the power, and the glory of God day after day. Anywhere we stop day one, we'll continue day two. Anywhere we stop day two, we'll continue. And we will do another thing. We will give time for testimonies. So after each day, when God has moved mightily, the next day we'll gather the people that have been touched one way or the other to come and share their testimonies. Amen. It's just going to be a showdown of the grace of God like never before. Are you excited? So pack all your problems. In fact, the way I feel this, the measure of the anointing that I feel on me, I'm pitying you, because some of you can't stand a 2-hour service. Some of you, it's even a miracle that you're able to stay in Pneumatec service. You know that never before have you ever stayed long in a service except for our service. And that's because in our own service here, there's something supernatural in the atmosphere that powers you. I'm just pitying us. If not, I'm planning to hold a program for us soon. We'll call that program Problems Only Service. You say you have problems, but no problem. God has the solution. Problems Only. That's the service. You know, was it Catherine Coleman or Amy McPherson? One of the generals, God's generals. She used to hold a service. The name of the service is Stretchers Only. That means the only people allowed into the service are people that they carry on bed, people that are paralyzed and lame. You need to have enough guts and know God very well to hold that kind of service. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So me now, I'm pitying you. If not, left for me, maybe in April or May, we'll have that service. Problems Only. We'll come, I will lead you to pray, and then I'll pray, prophesy, minister, just like that. How many of you want us to have that? Amen. Because of the energy that I feel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, let the people of God know that God is alive. Are you hearing me? And there's no problem too big that he cannot solve. So, please prepare next Sunday and make sure you come with people, because let me tell you the honest truth. This compound will be filled up with people. I'm telling you. If you doubt me, come by 4 p.m. next Sunday. You'll be outside. Amen. And but even those outside, I'll minister to them. Amen. As how the power of God can be so heavy, I'll just leave here and walk outside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, God wants to visit us and change our lives. And then there's an instruction that the Lord is giving to me to give us for those 3 days. But I will give it on Sunday. Amen. Thank you very much. Let's get to the word. I want to teach you quickly today and then we'll pray. But I believe that this message will benefit many of us here. Fighting personal battles. fighting personal battles. That's the topic for tonight's teaching. Life is full of battles. Life is filled with contentions. Life cannot be lived apart from momentarily facing oppositions. Life is warfare. What did I say? It is not a new thing that you are going through challenges or that you are fighting battles. Till the Lord Jesus come, for as long as we are on earth, we'll keep fighting one battle to the other. Never you believe anybody who tells you that now that we are in Christ Jesus, there is no longer any battle to fight. No. Paul himself, who wrote 1/3 of the New Testament, who we refer to as the Apostle of Grace, more than once spoke about warfare as part of the life of a Christian. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 11 or 12, Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." So even though you are in Christ Jesus and by grace you have received salvation, I hope you know that you have been brought into the kingdom of God, and your decision to be part of God's kingdom and to be one with Christ has made you an eternal enemy of somebody else. And that person will manipulate everything that he can with his systematized army to fight you. However, God has assured us in Christ Jesus of victory as a permanent and consistent reality in the life of the believer. That's why God told us that this is the year of victory for us. Now, you cannot experience victory until you have gone through some battles and oppositions. From the day a man is born till the day he dies or he goes to be with the Lord Jesus, he will fight battles. And the battles will be many. I was talking to somebody on Friday who is going through some challenges. And I was encouraging him. And I told him that everything you are going through is an indicator of your destination and where you are going to. God will not allow anything bigger than you to face you. God knows that you can conquer this. And God wants you to use this as a stepping stone to the next level. When this season of warfare is over, you will enter a new level of rest, of peace, of prosperity, and the blessings of God. And that season will now prepare you for another season of warfare. The person say, "Hey," I say, "It's true. If I don't tell you the full gospel, you will not believe it." And so begin to get used to and begin to embrace battles when they come. However, you will not be fighting every day of your life certain battles. But for as long as you are alive and in Christ Jesus, you will keep fighting battles. Now the battles differ. Those of you who bothered to come for women's conference, I said bothered because a lot of people will not want to come for service. Bring Minister Chijoke to the front. So let's give him a big pneumatic bless you till he comes to sit down. Just clap till he comes to sit down. Thank you, man of God. Thank you. No. Please bring him to the next seat in front. Yes. God bless you, sir. In the women's conference, I spoke about 7 primary battles that every man must fight. Is it true? Go and look for the message. Or go to the media stand after the service and get it. I said number 1, there is the battle for existence. That's the battle you fight the moment you are born. And I explained it. One ejaculation of sperm into a woman can carry millions of sperm cells. Those millions are potential human beings. How it was your own that swam through an acidic environment to go and fertilize the egg so that you can become the baby in the womb is a battle. So even before you become conscious, before you were born and became conscious of yourself, you started fighting battles from the womb. That, don't tell me that, oh, I don't know that there are battles. There are many believers who are not conscious of the fact that they are even surrounded. In fact, that's the second name for my teaching tonight. Fighting personal battles. Surrounded but not surrendered. And it's the part one. After April, I'll bring the part two. And somewhere later on, I'll bring the part three. And then you'll know how to fight and be victorious in personal battles. Are you ready? So, there is a battle for existence. The moment Isaac got married, his wife was barren. It took him 20 years of sincere and earnest prayers till God listened to him and his wife became pregnant. Now she became pregnant and she was having pregnancy complications. As at that time, there was no ultrasound. Medicine was still at its very infant stage. So she would not know that she had twins. She went to God and God told her there are twins in your womb, two nations. And that battle between the two nations continued. Number two, there is the battle for survival. Now that you are existing, you have been born, you will face the battle for survival. There will be many forces that will come against you to cut you short and to cut you off. Some of you had some serious sicknesses when you were small. Measles killed everybody around you. Even you, they left you for dead. Some of you, you even died. They had covered you with clothes. They went out and came back and somebody mistakenly opened the clothes and you were still breathing. Some of you have that experience. That was the battle for survival. Some of you were sick all through your childhood. Your mom was always in the hospital every month. It looked like you were not going to survive it. Why? What is it about this child? It's the battle for survival. Because if you survive, there perhaps may be a grace on your head. Or there is a chronicle of prophecy written about you that is meant to invoke into the earth 10,000 angels that would dislodge the gate of hell and bring deliverance to a nation. I wish I'm talking to somebody here. So the devil will not wait for you to be mature to begin to pray and call forth that prophecy on your life. He want to kill you when you are small. I told you the third battle is the battle for acceptance. Now you have grown. Nobody likes you. Everywhere you go, they are rejecting you. Even when they took you to school to start school, you were of the age, oh, but they refused. They say, come back another 1 year. When it was your time to start school, that's when they say, put your hand like this. And if your hand touch your shoulder, you can go to school. Other people stunned. They went to school freely. Battle for acceptance. Many of us are fighting that battle till today. You are still struggling to be accepted everywhere you go. And as a result, you are now a victim of low self-esteem, inferiority complex. You feel everybody is against you. You can't spend 1 month without depression because something in you is telling you you are not good enough. You are not good enough. It's a relayed battle you have been fighting. The battle for acceptance. There is also number four, the battle for growth, progress and advancement. This is one of the biggest battle any man can face. Why is it when you want to advance that you face all kinds of opposition? Jesus told the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. All of a sudden, a storm rose up in a desert. A storm rose up. Storm from where? Some of you, the moment you want to be serious with your life, that's when all your friends from the world will come around and after you. They will so tempt you that in your mind you will lose hope and return back to where you were before Jesus found you. Some of you, you can't finish a book. When you open a book to read, for you to finish it is war. activities will just come, and after 1 month, that book is still where you opened it and kept it there. It's the battle for growth and advancement. There's something impeding your advancement. But because you came here today, in the name of Jesus, every devil stopping your growth and advancement is crushed tonight in the name of Jesus. Battle for growth, for advancement, and for progress. The fifth battle is the battle for announcement. Okay, you don't grow. You have gone to school, trained yourself. You have increased in your skill, developed yourself. But now there is no job for you. You struggle to develop yourself. Now that you have developed yourself, at least start earning something with your skill or your certificate so that you can make up for all the stress that you went through. Now, nobody wants to give you a job. Nobody's looking at your face. It's difficult for people to see you. It's difficult for you to be announced. Your contemporaries have gotten bigger jobs, bigger opportunities. You have everything that is needed. You are endowed, but there is no opportunity to show people who you are. David fought that battle, and the devil came through his own brothers. You see, even families, and some of you, the enemies at this point can be family. The battle for announcement. David said, what will be given to the man that kills this Philistine? He didn't come for war. He just came with message for his brothers and for the captain of their own battalion. And then he heard that this giant had been taunting Israel for 40 days. And this guy, bold enough in his God, asked, what will be given? It's just, there's nothing wrong in the question. What will be given to the man that can overcome this giant? The brothers got offended. Say, you are a very proud and insolent boy. Where are you coming from? Get out of here. Go back to the bush. Go back to the bush. You people that are the soldiers, you have been there for 40 days eating food. None of you have the boldness to step out. One small boy comes and is ready to challenge. Some of you, that's what you are going through in your family. You are not the first. You are not the second. You are not the third. You are not the fourth. You are not the fifth. All those ahead of you, I don't know for why they didn't succeed. I don't know what they didn't do with their life. But you decided to fight your way through destiny. And now you have everything that is needed to lift yourself and the entire family away. You do anything small, they will say you they show yourself. Now God has raised you to help the entire village, to help the entire community. God is blessing you. You go back to the village, sink one borehole that they will drink from. And on your way, somebody from that same village sends an arrow of accident to your... You know, witchcrafts, witches are foolish, actually. It's a person that will help them that they are bewitching. I speak to someone here. Not everybody, but to someone. Any programming, any satanic programming against your life, any program of witchcraft that they have planned to cut you short. Meanwhile, you are the savior that God has raised in that community, in that family, in that territory. I deactivate that program today. I deactivate that program today. The battle for announcement. That's why you have a great ministry, but no one seems to notice you. All doors are closed to your gift. Nobody is inviting you. It's not every time that God is dealing with you. Sometimes there are some demons on surveillance assignment. Some demons are on serious surveillance assignment. Because they know that if they invite you to just one platform and you open your mouth on that mic, all of a sudden 32 nations can start looking for you. And they know this is the time for this guy to break forth. Isn't it when they gave birth to Jesus that Herod started killing children? All through the Bible, children never committed offense. It was when Jesus was born that children committed offense. The battle for announcement. Even in your career and your job, God gives you a job. He brings you to an organization. And you have all it takes to rise and become useful to that organization. And then some volunteer or voluntary agents of the devil. You know, some people sell themselves to the devil for free. Just frustrating you up and down. anything you are doing, they will come and be looking at you, spying at you in the office. Even when you go to the bathroom, they will come and be checking. You are making call, they are checking. Anyone that is for no reason monitoring you to bring your downfall, because they decided to become agents of the devil, I release judgment upon them. I know you don't like my prayer, but wait until you get to that hot seat. Then you will look for this message and listen to the prayer. I'm saying that you are at peace. You are not looking for anybody's trouble. You just want to grow and be useful to the organization and yourself. And somebody sells themselves as sons and daughters of Belial to the organization. They are monitoring you, looking for an offense against you. Between now and by the time we finish the 3 days of visitation, you heard that testimony. May all of them leave that organization for you. Why can't they let you rest? Battle for announcement. There's a battle for greatness. Greatness is not cheap. I don't know when, but one day I will share with you some of the personal battles I have to fight for being your pastor and for being, by the grace of God, an apostolic voice in this city. There are sometimes I wake up in the night to pray. I can't move my legs. People just think it's easy. You just come in here, sit down. There's an air cooler there facing you. And then you come up. Do you know anytime I walk through this door and come in, I just finished a battle. I just won a battle. There are sometimes headache from nowhere. That sometimes I can be purging for 3 days stretch. Because I don't tell you. But the next time you see the devil, tell the devil that this one doesn't give up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, no. In fact, you make me tougher by the attacks. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I have now gotten used to warfare that if a week pass without anything, I have to do some all night and look for some trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how used to, even if God sends me from here to Dubai now, or God sends me to London and I have a big ministry, everybody, everything I need, I will still be doing warfare. I've become used to it. 12 years surviving in a city like this, and now the world can hear you. I've become used to warfare. I like battles. I like it. I like it. No. It's not easy. 12 years being in this land. How old? We are not even ministry. We are not even up to 7 years. But nations are hearing us. My brother, it's the battle for greatness. Now I love to fight. Me, I like fighting. Anybody that is a coward cannot stay around me. I like it. On Friday, I called two of my brothers. I said, let's pray. In fact, we didn't even do any warfare. I think we need to come back this week and do another one. Because until you war with those forces, invisible and visible, they won't allow you to break forth. They won't allow your voice to be heard. Your greatness, is the freedom and the liberation of many destinies. Some of you are sitting and looking at me in your stomach. Are songs that will open up the gates of heaven over nations. I'm telling you, many great artists, great music ministers are singing, but their songs can do nothing in that place because heaven designed that it is you that nobody knows, that is looking at me now. And the devil would ensure that those songs never come out. But in the name of Jesus, anything God has kept inside of you that needs to come out for the world to benefit from, I stand by the authority that is in the name of Jesus, and we arrest every battle that is against that which is in you. And I declare that in this season you shall break forth. And then number 7, there is the battle for longevity. After you have fought all the battles, the devil will say, okay, you have won in 6 battles. This time around, I'll make sure you don't last. That's the battle many pastors and many ministers have lost in this city. The battle for longevity. The battle for longevity. Study this city. Nobody has risen genuinely. Minister, whether word or singing, nobody has risen genuinely and has sustained greatness till the world started hearing them. The time of our fathers, men like Reverend George Ayuba of blessed memory and the rest, they died before the world started hearing them. But the world will hear your voice. And you will not only prosper, you will consistently prosper. And you will remain. In the name of Jesus. Fighting personal battles. Surrounded but not surrendered. 2 Samuel 10 verse 1 to 14. Let's walk around this quickly before we pray. 2 Samuel 10 verse 1 to 14. Let's read. Now, if you read from verse 1, it was an issue that happened between Ammon, a nation called Ammon, and the children of Israel. A king died, and David, because he was close to the king that died, he sent his ambassadors, his messengers to go and comfort the son. The son now looked for trouble. Have you seen people that you try to help them when they are in need and they turn against you? Have you seen those kind of people? You try to help them and they say they show too much. You too they show. You too they do. You try to help them and they are offended that you are the one that has the ability to help them. Have you seen those kind of people? Such is the son of Ammon in this scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1. It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died and Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. When you see those kind of people around your life, call them Hanun. They are the descendants of Hanun. Some people are so frustrated in this life that they don't like seeing people who are happy or who are joyful. They want to empty their frustration on other people. Because they don't have a job, you too should not have a job. The moment you stand up and testify, they will bone their face all through that service. Where they should be ready to keep boning their face. Because for boning their face the first time, God will give you double promotion. Anyone who is angry that you are rising, may you rise with speed. And where the devil will bless them is when they now go to seek dark powers against you. I told you that I like battles. This year, we are ready. You must enter into the victory that God has given you. And walk in dominion. Go down to verse 9. So this guy offended David by embarrassing David's messengers. And David knew that this was war. So David sent Joab to go and fight against the children of Ammon. So Joab now, David didn't go with him. Joab went alone. This is an example of fighting personal battles. No backup from King David. Only him went with the army. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him, before and behind, because that king they want to go and fight, he now went and called another king. Two against one. And he prepared as if David was coming. So Joab now that they sent innocently, he is met with two nations coming against me. How many of you have felt so surrounded in your life? It's as if all the battles, all the forces of hell rise up against you. You are dealing with house rent, trying to settle that one. Your children are sick. You are trying to settle this one. Somebody steals from you. It's as if everything around you is going bad. And you seem to be surrounded. I have good news for you. You may be surrounded, but you are not surrendered. Let's look at what Joab did. Let's go on. When Joab saw that the battle was against him before and behind, he was surrounded everywhere. Soldiers like sand on the seashore. The Bible says, out of desperation, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. In other words, he chose some of the best warriors he had, because weather don't hurt now. And he put them in front. And you know what God told me when I was reading this in the afternoon? God told me, he said, tell your people that any of them that seems, that feel like they are the ones that have the most challenges in life, tell them that they are like the best of my warriors that have been put in the forefront of the battle. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying. You are listening to me with your eyes, not your ears. Some of you right now, it's too hot for you. You know why? Because you are like those soldiers that Joab took and they put at the forefront. The reason why it's too hot for you, the reason why the challenges are too much for you, is because you are one of God's best. He said in Jeremiah 51:20, you are my battle axe and my weapon of war. He said with you, not that I will give you an axe, with you I will smite in pieces. The devil is so afraid of you. And that's why everything seems to be hot. If you are at a point in your life where it is too hot for you, you are at the forefront of the battle. And you are there because God put you as one of his best. Am I talking to somebody this evening? Let's read on. Because we'll go pray this night. Eh? And anything that doesn't finish today, 3 days of visitation, we are coming. Oh my God. And the rest of the people he put under the command of his brother Abishai. You know, their other brother was dead. They lost him in battle, Asahel. That one was very fast. He died in battle. Now just two of them, they were alone. Have you ever been at a point in life where you feel alone? It's as if it's only you that is facing all the challenges. Nobody to help you. You are trying to pastor the church. The church is not growing. No help, no support from anywhere. You are struggling to build your music ministry and career. Nobody's sending you support. To record is one thing. Now they say pay for mix down and mastering. No money. Help from nowhere. You are the only one training your children. Instead of people to send money, is your family that is even asking you for money. Have you been there before? You feel like there's no one but me. Many of us cry and break in those conditions. God sent me with a word of comfort for you today, that you may be surrounded, but you are not yet surrendered. Let's go on. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, that he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. So Joab said, okay, me I'll face Syria. You face Ammon. I hope you know that's a dangerous spot in battle. Let's read on. Please, don't worry. Let's finish reading before you show my face. It's not about my face today. It's about the devil that shall enter soup today. Then he said to his brother Abishai, he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, you come and help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, I go leave my own, come help you. Let's go on. But this fight, we'll fight it together. He said, be of good courage. When a general is telling a general, be of good courage. No, say the other one, don't fear till a peace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Be strong, brother. And let us be strong for our people. That means they were afraid. He said, boy, this is not the time to shake. We can't die now. We know die since we know go die now. Be strong. This battle will go fight on. That means the men of Joab and Abishai, they were already afraid. In fact, in their own opinion, they would have wanted to tell Joab, send message to David to join us or call off this battle. We can't fight two nations at once. Hitler tried doing it, and that was where his army was crushed. He was fighting Russia. At the same time, he was fighting Britain. So the soldiers that went to Britain, America, they finished them. The ones that were going to Russia, they could not stand cold. Cold killed many of them. The rest, they killed them. That's how they closed in on Germany. And Hitler committed suicide. Nobody wins by fighting a battle on two fronts. So these guys were about to attempt something dangerous. But Joab looked at his brother and said, guy, now let me and you there. Yeah. Be strong. There's no running back. If we run, they can shoot us arrow and we die. He said, be of good courage. Tell your neighbor, be of good courage. Tell your neighbor, be strong. Shake that neighbor. That person has been depressed. He has been discouraged. He has been frustrated because of the battles of life. Tell him, be strong, be strong. It's just the month of March. We've not gone into the year yet. It's just March. It's just the third month. It's not the time to chicken out. Tell your neighbor, be strong. Go on, let's read on. He said, be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. He said, and may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Guess what happened? So Joab and the people who were with him drew near. Imagine as they were marching towards the Syrians. Something was telling Joab that this may be the last battle you'll fight. There's no way you are not going down. They are attacking you before and behind. House rent, school fees, no food. Your job now is hanging on the line. Then they call you, your mom is hospitalized. As you are leaving Pneumatech now, you don't know how you are going to do. You are surrounded, but you are not yet surrendered. Imagine as Joab was going close. If you watch all those war films, the last pictures in his mind will be the picture of his wife and his children. The last bye-bye he told them before he left. Perhaps Joab even kept a small knife so that if they wound him, he will not allow the Syrians to capture him alive. He will kill himself. Everything told him, you were not leaving this battle. You were not going out alive. But the Bible says, Joab told his brother, I said, be strong. And as he drew near, what happened according to that verse? I told you, put the scripture until we finish reading it. What's it with my face? He drew near for the battle against the Syrians. And you know what? They fled before him. Some of those battles you are trying to run from is the battle where you will get the greatest victory. They didn't even have to fight. They fled. Anytime you think you are alone, that's when God is with you the most. That's the battle that God will ensure you will win. Ask yourself, you have gone, these challenges you are going through, you have gone through it before. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you survived it. Even that time that you survived it, you didn't have money. Is it now that at least you have a plot of land somewhere that you will now die? That's what I tell myself every day. If Satan didn't cut me off at the beginning of this ministry, it's not now. It's not now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled. So, one nation fighting two other nations, and the two nations that seem to have the advantage numerically fled. Let me tell you something. When it comes to warfare, number does not really matter with God. If God finds one man that can believe him, everybody can give up in that family but you. Everybody can give up in that organization. The policy has affected all of us. We'll lose our job but you. They fled before Abishai and entered the city. So Joab returned from the people of Ammon and went to Jerusalem. Let's see another story of a man that fought a battle alone. Personal battles. Joshua 10 verse 1 to 15. Shalabakaradia. Joshua chapter 10 verse 1 to 15. Then Joshua, 10 verse 1. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho, and reverse every arrow of the enemy. I reverse every bullet of the enemy. I just saw a vision of a bullet flying. I reverse every satanic bullet. Any attack, any arrow, any bullet targeted against you, it will miss its path to get to you. It will miss its target as it comes to you. Let's read on quickly. Joshua chapter 10 verse 1. When they heard that he had totally destroyed Ai, as he had done to Jericho and its king, and he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Then in verse 3, Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, went and called four other kings, plus him, becoming five. Next verse. He said, let's go and attack Gibeon. Since we are afraid of Joshua and his people, we don't know which juju they use. Let's attack these ones that are close to them. When you wake up one morning and they call you that your mother had an accident, after that call, as you are getting dressed, you see an email on your phone. They say all of you should submit office equipment by tomorrow and wait till you are told what to do. While that one is happening, another problem. When you see attacks around you, but not to you, it is the devil attacking Gibeon because he's afraid of attacking Joshua. Are you hearing me at all? If I were you, when that kind of thing happens, just laugh. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, blah, 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 gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and came before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal. That means where he was going to fight was a hilly place. Imagine climbing a hill to fight an enemy. Before you reach up, they use arrow to finish you. And all the people of war with him, he and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them. The first thing God will always tell you when you are in a battle situation is fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Sometimes we are afraid because the enemies are too much. The problems are too much. Which one will I solve? Some of you have calculated your salary this month. It will not even be enough to solve all the problems. So you are trying to say how you can manage like this, cut like this. When you are now, you are going out, you don't want to hit anybody. Your car, you don't want to jam anybody, because anything that happens, you know you are in trouble. God says, fear not. For I have delivered them into your hand. You see them plenty like this. I don't give them to you. It says, not a man of them shall stand before you. It's the same thing God told him in Joshua chapter 1 before he entered Canaan. The same thing God is repeating. That's why when you are in a battle, the same things God told you 2 years ago before you came to Maiduguri, 3 years ago, is the same thing he will tell you. Because that time when he told you, there was no battle situation to experiment the word. So when God said, fear not, you came out from the retreat and said, God said, fear not. God said, fear not. God said, fear not. But 2 years later, when dragons surround you, God said, fear not. God said, fear not. God said, fear not. You know, when we receive a word from God, we don't take it serious because you are not yet in a situation that simulates the reality for that word to find expression. Go on. And Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night. Somebody say all night. From Gilgal. Some of you, this is a season where you have to do all night too. Something is about to break forth for your destiny. God is about to send one major helper that will lift you from where you are and take you to a height where you can't fall from again. This may be the time where you need to contend. Now that everybody's sleeping, well, even the heat is helping us. The heat tells you that it's not time to sleep too much. Whether it is the heat of the weather or the economic heat, one heat. Let's read on. So the Lord routed them. The Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah. You can read down, you see that it was total victory for Joshua and the children of Israel. What do you do when you are fighting personal battles, when it seems like you are surrounded by the enemy? problems everywhere around you, it is now obvious logically that you will soon sink in this problem. I give you 6 points and then we'll pray. Number one, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. It says, ye are of God, little children. Take note of the word little children. And have overcome the world, for greater is he that is in you than he. He's talking to little children, but he's bringing overcoming side by side with little children. What can children do? Children can do nothing except if greater is the one that is in them. Because of that one that is in them, they are no longer children. That's why you must not be afraid. You must be strong and be courageous every time you are surrounded by the enemy. Some of you come from families where there are all kinds of witches and wizards, or perhaps communities. Some of you live in territories and in cities where darkness, you just know there's something in the atmosphere that will not allow people to breathe well. There are forces of evil on a daily basis. Nigeria seems to be a place like that. And especially Maiduguri. When you go around the streets of our city, if you live in this kind of city, you will know it is like, it's as if there is a force seen trying to choke people, trying to suppress people. The heat is everywhere in the country, but our own is too much. Why? When you wake up in the night to pray, it's as if three people are sitting on you. You can't even stand up. My brother, what you are experiencing there is the amount of witchcraft and satanic activity in the atmosphere. But God says, be strong and courageous. You know why? If the person that is in you is God, forget about the adversary. The thing about God is he doesn't need to add to himself or subtract from himself. He's a constant in your equation. The devil can reinforce with thousands of demons, can add witches and wizards, but if God be for you, who can be against you? You must be strong. You must be strong. Tell your neighbor, be strong. Be strong. In fact, it is when you are strong that God can take advantage of your strength in him to bring victory. As powerful and as great God is, most times his power is at the mercy of our confidence. You give up, there's nothing God can do. Many people give up just before God shows up. You called for backup. Now God is on his way for the rescue. Before God makes the journey halfway, you give up and sit down. And the devil comes in and have a field day. But from today, the strength of the Lord is coming upon you. Your strength, your personal strength as an individual believer, comes from two primary things. Number one, God. Number two, your union, the consciousness of your union with God. Ephesians 6 verse 10 in Amplified Translation, it says, let your strength come from God and from your union with him. Be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him. Have a conscious image of your identity in Christ. To know that if God is with you, there is nothing that can be against you. And God with you makes you stronger than all the forces that the enemy can gather around you. Be strong. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 to 17, you remember the story of the Syrians surrounded Elisha. And his servant woke up and saw the Syrian army. Round about them, he said, we are in trouble. Imagine you wake up in one morning and they tell you that outside your gate is EFCC or DSS. Especially when your house is in Maiduguri where we have high fences with barbed wire. You are trapped there, isn't it? Elisha told his servant, when the servant cried, he said, fear not. For this one that you are seeing, they are not up to those ones that are with us. Be not afraid. Tell your neighbor, be not afraid. Number two, what do you do when you are surrounded or when you are fighting personal battles? Have faith in the voice of the Lord. Have faith in the voice of the Lord. Joshua chapter 10 verse 8. The Bible says the Lord said to Joshua. That was what gave Joshua the confidence to ascend from Gilgal and fight. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. My question for you tonight, in the midst of the battles that you are surrounded with, many of you, this message may not make sense to you now, but somewhere in June, somewhere in July, you'll be faced with a situation where you are surrounded by the enemy. In that state, my question to you is, what did God say to you? That's all you need to look for. What is the word of the Lord to me? That is what strengthens your faith to face the enemy. What God has spoken to you. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. It is by Him that we gain access to the voice of God. It is through that voice of God that we can take advantage of the enemy and bring victory or establish the victory that God has given us. Because there's no battle you fight now that God is unaware of. I hope you know that before you existed in this world, you existed in eternity. Huh? As an invisible creature. So God had seen your life from day one to the end. And He had seen all the battles you fight. And He had made provisions even before you came on earth. Even before the devil was aware of you to attack you. He had made all the provisions for your victory. But those provisions, those weapons for your victory will be released to you as per how close you are to the voice of God. In the midst of battles, make sure you find the voice of God. Let me tell you something. If God is not talking to me physically, or if I cannot hear the voice of God, I will look for what He's saying in His word. If He's not saying anything to me, I will look for a human representation of the voice of God to me. Do you hear what I said? Once you can locate the voice of God. You know why it is good to look for a human representative of the voice of God to you? Not all the time, but sometimes. Some of you are lazy. Every problem. You will never stand up to pray one day. You are lazy. I'm sorry to say, but you are lazy. Fight for once. You are afraid of scar. Get the scar for once. It's a sign that you are a warrior. Get the scar for once. Some of you are too lazy. They are too lazy. Every small thing apostle. Every small thing apostle. No. Fight for once. But at times, the reason why it is good to look for the voice of God is because, see, when God calls a man and anoints that man as a prophet, I'm not talking about people who carry names as prophets and go about extorting families, extorting people. That is a sham. And any man of God that does that, if you are truly a man of God, please, I urge you to repent. Because in the dignity of your calling is that you don't take from people, you add to them. Whatever they give you, they will count it as a privilege because your life and presence is consistently a blessing to them, whether they give you or not. So anybody going around telling you, God say you should do this, God says you should give me more, that is 100% fake. I have never done it and I will never do it. There's no need now. Look at the people you are asking that God say you should bring 10,000 naira and I'll fast for you. Look at the people. How much do they have? People that are still struggling to pay house rent. People that are struggling with one car. You want to squeeze them. Any man of God that does that, If he's a man of God, he needs to repent. That is wrong. Otherwise, he's not one. When you find a true man of God and a true priest, there's a dignity with this calling. Listen, there's no need to beg people. What is on your head can bless people. No be so. If it can bless people, that thing, you can send it to talk to people and they will bring the money. It's the truth. I'm saying it, it's not part of my message, but to deliver somebody. I pray that the woman who told me this will not be offended. I didn't call your name, but at least let me just say, because there are other people going through what you're going through. Say, man of God, say to her that God said, imagine, God said that you should feed me for 3 years. That guy has opened office on your head, NGO job on your head. Or this your problem, I'll fast for you for 40 days. And in these 40 days, I'll fast. If he can fast for 40 days, why has his ministry not shifted? Why is his voice not territorial? If he can fast for the 40 days, that he's still in a small lungo with no result or no trace of result is a sign to tell you he can't even stand 40 days. And you foolishly want to take your money and give. He will be eating in those 40 days. Wake up and be delivered. I'm not against honoring men of God. No, honor them. Some of you too are stingy. Man, God has blessed you through his prophets again and again. You are so greedy you can't remove anything and bless them. No, that's wrong. If God has brought, even if he's just teaching, that the man is teaching you the word of God. Do you know what it means to feed people the word of God? The Bible says that the elders that rule well are worthy of double honor. Especially those who labor in word, not in prophecy, in word and doctrine. The people you must treasure the most as servants of God that teach the word. Because you may not see it, but slowly but surely, God is forming out of you a mighty vessel. And you have been under that grace for 6 months, for 1 year, and you can't take anything from your pocket. You are stingy and you need deliverance. Yes, let me balance it like that. But if you find a man of God going around telling you, God said you should give me, I'll fast for 3 days, that guy is fake. In fact, he's of the synagogue of Satan. It's as if he's the one that will bring in the Antichrist. Catch him, because very soon you'll see the Antichrist. It's the truth. Let's get delivered. We come to the house of God to be delivered. All this nonsense must stop. God say, you come to my house. You're talking to a woman. Let's leave that thing. Let's continue. You know, I've heard this thing for years now. In fact, I started hearing it before I started ministry. And so it became one of the things I swore for myself and any minister here that must keep to it is integrity. There's no need to milk the people. You are a blessing to them. Don't eat from a tree that has not borne fruit. God said, all of you, my members, you are supposed to buy me a car this year. Then he will now bring story of this ministry. They bought car for their man of God, and you don't see that they are blossoming. This one, in those ministries, did they force them to contribute? It's wrong. So have faith in the voice of God. Have a human representative around you. If you no longer can hear God, or if God is not speaking through his word, you are too confused that you are not seeing anything from the scripture, look for a man that God has covenant. Listen, the anointing on a man of God's life that is sent has covenanted him with God in such a way that man, most of the times, anything he says, God will back it up. The Bible says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. That mouth is the man of God. It's not like God has mouth. That mouth, he's saying that it will go out of my mouth, is the man of God he sent. He confirms the word of his servant and performs the word of his. Number three, what do you do when you're fighting personal battles? Harness the power of prayer. Joshua chapter 10 verse 12. Harness the power of prayer. Harness the power of prayer. Before Joshua spoke to God in this verse 12, before Joshua shouted, let the sun stand still. Let me read the whole verse for you so you see where prayer comes in. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel. So before he said in the sight of Israel, he spoke to God. Until you have prevailed in intercession. It is when you prevail in intercession that you can command certain manifestations. He spoke to God, then he said in the sight of Israel. So the back end to making decrees and it is established is prayer. If you find somebody that almost every time you go to them and they pray for you and you see testimonies, the next time you meet them, ask them about their prayer life. That thing doesn't just happen anyhow. So, in a battle situation, when you are surrounded with personal battles, that's the time to pray. And guess what? That's the time you feel not like to pray. But the Bible says we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, the Bible says, he helpeth our infirmities by making intercession. Listen, there are sometimes you are overwhelmed with challenges of life. There's nothing to say to God. Just go and pray in tongues. That's why God gave us that language. Saying what you don't know, but it is communicating what you need. You wake up one morning, you are surrounded with challenges everywhere. Just before you start crying and confessing negativity, enter into tongues. The first thing that will be leaving you is the doubt or the discouragement that is about to trap you. The fear that is about to grip you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Pray. Harness the power of prayer. When you have prevailed in intercession, your confession will birth manifestation. Number what now? Be conscious of the angelic. Be conscious of and engage the angelic. Be conscious of and engage the angelic. Psalms 91 verse 10 to 11. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Why? For he shall give his angels charge. Do you know that even when you are surrounded by the enemy, you are more surrounded by the angels of the Lord than even the enemy that is the peripheral? In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, the Bible says, are they not all, speaking about angels, are they not all, whether they are cherubim or seraphim, all the angels, the Bible says they are ministering spirits. And their assignment is that they are sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Every angel in heaven always will have an assignment for a believer. The Bible didn't say to minister to. It said to minister for. I don't know where people got the theology from where they say you command your angels. I guess it's when you engage certain things aright that the angels of God can work with you. But I want you to know one thing. That there are angels of the Lord surrounding you. Some of them are going to be deployed when you are facing the battles of your life. Some of them, God will not activate their presence in your life now. It's the day that hell is breaking loose on you. That's when they will appear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It was one angel that appeared when Peter was in prison. In the same chapter, that angel's appearance opened gates. The same angel appeared when Herod was giving a speech. And because he took the glory that was meant for God, he was struck with worms. One angel appeared and slew 180 something thousand of the enemy against Judah. There are some angels that have been sent to you. They will not manifest until the day serious battles come. That's when you know how defended you are. Many years ago, I went to a boarding house, a military boarding house. I schooled in Port Harcourt, where there is militant. And I was schooling when the militants were there. Then I came for university when Boko Haram started. You now see that all my life, everywhere, so I just like battle. You understand? From small to you grow everywhere, so you just become used to it. We were in school one morning, public holiday, having breakfast. Our dining hall is close to the last fence of the school. They call it overboard. My school was built in a swamp because less than 2 or 3 kilometers after my school was a sea where ships, we used to see the ships pass. So they sand filled that place and built my school. We saw people wearing black and red jumping into the school from behind. That was how they entered the hall and gathered military people at train. They rounded off us to the hostels. They said, everybody get to the hostel and lie under your bunk. That was the day I thought it was a school for learning. That was the day I knew there was an armory there. What we were looking at as a soccer way that will pass and climb every day, they removed it and they brought out guns. I say, yay. In less than 20 minutes, they were personnel surround everywhere. Those guys left. Maybe they sent them to come and kidnap one oil or gas picking. Because they had people like that in my school. They left. Some angels around your life, the day they will manifest is the day some serious battles come. And if you are in such positions, may they appear in your life this season. Are we ready to pray? So be conscious of the angelic. Engage the angelic. Judges chapter 5 verse 20, the Bible says that the stars in heaven fought against Sisera and the enemies that were against Deborah and Barak. Psalms 34 verse 7 says that the angel of the Lord surrounds those that fear him to deliver them. When you go back, read verse 15 to 22. Number what now? Number 5. Embrace the spirit of brotherhood. Corporate intercession. When personal battles are too hot for you, find your family, your spiritual family. Find your church. Many of you are too alone. You will die there. I'm telling you. You will die and go to heaven. You go to heaven, but you die. And you die young. You will go to heaven, but you will die young. If you continue that your life of being alone. Any small thing, you are alone. Any small thing, you have already shown the devil an exit point to take your life. When it's too hot for you, look for evil. Just come. Come for pneumatic and just come and lie down on the ground. You can't pray. Just come and lie down. Let the people of God be praying. There is a strength that it brings. Nobody was designed to survive alone. I understand that there are haters. I understand that there are betrayers. I understand there are a lot of selfish people. But brother, even if it's one person God has connected with you, find your bunch. Find your bunch. Sometimes it can be one prayer partner. One prayer partner. Before the devil frustrates life out of you, crawl your way to their house and say, I don't know what's happening now, but let's draw strength together. The Bible says, whatever two of you shall agree are touching, because one shall chase 1,000, but two shall chase 10,000. Don't survive it. Don't die alone. Don't die alone. Don't. Find a fellowship. Find a church. Find somebody somewhere. Some personal battles cannot be fought alone. Let me tell you. When the devil is sending 10,000 devils against you. Some of you want to stay alone. But God is not allowing you to stay alone. You know why? Maybe the devil is about to attack you one night alone. And that was Archbishop Duncan Williams. He was alone in his room in the night. And the devil spoke to him and said, put your hand on candle. He put his hand. Imagine manipulation. He put his hand. And that's how he lost his 3 fingers. If not God that by mercy saved him. The Bible says, two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. Especially if it is labor in prayer. You have an issue in your life. You have prayed and fasted. Nothing is happening. You have sown seed. Find another person. Let's agree together. Let's combine together. In Judges chapter 1, God said, let Judah go first and fight the battle. Judah went and looked for Simeon. He said, oh boy, where you did? Follow me, go this battle. He said, when we win my own, I go follow you, go your own, and then we win. Even Jesus, at the greatest battle of his life, when he was at the garden, you know, the first time the devil came to him was alone in the desert. He learned well. When he was at the garden, he took his three disciples with him. He said, stay here and watch while I pray. I understand it's a personal battle. I have to fight it, but I need backup. Some of you, the reason why you don't have backup is because when things are good for you, you spend alone. You chop alone. So who go back you up? When everything is good for you, disappear. Your friends don't see you. You better repent. It's now that there's crisis. You are now looking for, let me tell you the truth, in as much as it's good to be with people, any friend around you who only comes around when they have problems, defriend them, run. That person is a cousin to the devil. Catch him. He knows the devil's address. Some people are so selfish, even in Christ Jesus. Christ has not helped. Even their selfishness has survived the spirit life. When things are good for them, they run away. The next time they show up in your room, they don't have food stuff. And they will show up when you have, when your food done. If you are like that, may God deliver you here. Some of you are students, you bear witness. They are always coming well. I come well. Oh. They always come well. They have a way of monitoring when your food done. Are you blessed tonight? Embrace the spirit of brotherhood. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9 to 12. Joab went with Abishai. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 24 and 31. When they warned the disciples, Peter and John, they said, don't preach about Jesus. The Bible says they returned back to their own company. Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to 17. When Mordecai was crying, they will soon kill all the Jews. Esther said, gather all the Jews and fast. Me and my maidens, we will fast. Don't fight some personal battles alone. It was the devil planned well to kill you, but he will lose his plan. Get people that you can pray with. Some of you, one of the greatest gifts God has given you, God didn't promote you from last year to this year, but he gave you a good friend. Some of you despise the friends God give you. Some of you despise the fellowship, the church God brings you to. Because nobody's parking a serious car outside. They may not have cars in that church. They may not be rich. But in the day of adversities, they are the only ones that will pray for you. You want to go to a church where they have big, everybody's a rich man there. Because if they prosper there, me might go prosper. You will prosper. But the day that the devil knocks on your door. Some of you, God prosper you. You leave your small church and go to a big church. The only kind of people I will leave are people who have left me. Or people who feel I'm no longer important in their life. I will leave them. But ask anybody who knows me. I know how to keep relationship. Pray. Embrace the spirit of brotherhood. Do you know that in the book of Daniel, the Bible begins in the book of Daniel with Daniel and his four friends, isn't it? In Daniel chapter 2, they were faced with a problem. Four of them prayed. Solution came quickly. As the book progresses, Daniel became alone. That was why Daniel's intercession had to increase in Daniel chapter 6. Because by Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was alone. There was no Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You know, when they now said nobody should pray for 30 days, and now he knew there was nobody to back him up to pray, he had to pray 3 times a day. Your intercession will increase when you don't have people around you. Let me give you spiritual mathematics. If it will take you 3 hours in prayers to crack something, look for 2 other people, pray for 1 hour, you will crack it. Because if 3 people pray for 1 hour, they each pray for 3 hours. 3 times 3 is what? So if it will take you 1 hour to crack something in prayer, and you have 3 friends, the 3 of you may just need to do 15 minutes or 20 minutes at most. I'm giving you spiritual mathematics. I've proven it. The same effort it will take you to be, you want to go to the mountain and feel like a superstar. You may win the battle, but it may cost you your stomach. You may come down with ulcer. It may cost you attacks. Have you heard of people who finish warfare and then they start having attacks? They finish prayers and they start having attacks. Find your bunch. Go and try it. We need to pray. Number what now? Maintain your daily confession of faith. Maintain your daily confession of faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5 verse 4 that faith is the victory. Maintain your confession. No matter how overwhelming the battle is, maintain your confession. Keep speaking the word of God over your life. Look for our I am confession. Write it. Put it in your room. Even if your prayer life has died, you can't even pray again. Be saying that one every day for 3 days. Maintain your confession. All the devil may be waiting for is for you to use your mouth and betray yourself. Job said in Job chapter 19 verse 25 to 26, but I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth. He said, and even though my skin is destroyed, my flesh is destroyed, yet in this skin, or my skin is destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. You know why Job maintained his confession? The Bible says in Job chapter 1, the last verse, that in all of this, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. Meaning he didn't accuse God falsely, that God was punishing him without cause. In chapter 2, Satan came through his wife, curse God and die. Do you know what that means? The only place your solution can come from, destroy it. Job said no. Never you use your mouth to betray yourself. Even in the face of death, keep speaking the word of God over your life. Keep telling yourself, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Let the weak say, I am strong. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. So when you are going through challenges and you are so weak, begin to laugh and tell yourself, the grace of God is sufficient for me. His strength is perfected in my weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The reason why you need to stuff your heart with the word of God, not your head, your heart. There's a difference between knowing off head and knowing off heart. Knowing off head is you crammed it. Knowing off heart is you can say it without thinking. It is now part of you. Stuff your heart with the word of God now, because there's a day when you will need it. It was Jonah's mouth that brought him out of the fish. If he had closed that mouth, the fish would have digested him. That would be the end of a prophet. Some of you need to wake up from being quiet. There are seasons in your life where you shouldn't be quiet. Keep talking. Anytime the devil shows you after prayers, he gives you a faint and a negative vision. You see the opposite of what you prayed for. Open your mouth and speak the opposite. The way to counter your thoughts is with your mouth. The Bible says, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and bringing down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How? With your mouth, your mouth, your mouth. Your mouth. When the devil is bringing pornographic pictures to your mind, he's trying to draw you back to that pit of sin. Open your mouth and declare, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. The more he's showing you your mind, the more you are speaking the word of God. Counter it till your mind will start showing you what your mouth is saying. Don't say I didn't tell you. I'm talking this night now. Tomorrow, some of you will face a crisis where you will need all these principles. Don't say you didn't hear it. Don't call me in the midst of that. I've given it to you. Keep your confession. That's one thing about me. Keep your confession. You are broke. Keep telling yourself, my existence is powered by supply that knows no limit. I am daily loaded with benefit. That means it must come today. Apostle, this is now 6:30 p.m. It will still come. The debt is still there. It will come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then finally, before we pray, remain in God's presence through praise and worship. Remain in God's presence through praise and worship. There are times when you can be so overwhelmed. You can't even pray. You can't even practice all the other points. Just get into a mode of worship. Start worshiping. Start worshiping. Start blessing God. And let the presence of God surround you. It is in that presence that you know that you are a victor. That you know that you are more than a conqueror. That you are assured of His right hand with you. Minister Chijoke, there's a song he used to sing. I was even trying to sing it within the week. There's a part in that song. He said, I can't live without your presence. I can't move without your presence. And there's something you said I like. It's in your presence I carry the presence. I don't know whether it is correct English, but I get the revelation that you were trying to say. I don't know the other part of the song, but I think that song needs to come out soon. Yahweh, I cannot live without your presence. Yahweh, I cannot move without your presence. Yahweh, I cannot live without your presence. Yahweh, I cannot live without. Anytime I am overwhelmed, the last resort is worship. I just lie down in my prayer room and begin to worship. Begin to worship. Begin to worship. All of a sudden, you become swallowed up by your consciousness of God, that you forget all the adversary around you. We cry, Abba Father, hallowed be your name, hallowed be your name. Stand on your feet, let's pray. Cry, Abba Father,
hallowed be your name, hallowed be your name.
Cry, Abba Father,
cry, Abba Father,
hallowed be your name, hallowed be your name,
hallowed be your name.
Emmanuel.
Some of you don't know why I like singing that song. Those are the kind of songs I sing when, listen, there are days when the devil comes to tell me that you are alone. The devil talks to me too. And he spoke to Jesus. Who are you? He talked to you. The devil will tell me that you are alone here suffering. No pastor is even calling you to thank you for what you are doing. Nobody's even encouraging you. If care is not taking you, you'll die here like some of the fathers in this land. The devil talks to me. And it's not all the time that I may be strong enough to reply him. So some songs like this, Emmanuel, means God with us. I remind God of His covenant. Even when I feel alone, I know that You are always with me.
God is with us, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. And when we pray, He answers. And when we call, hey, we are not alone. God is with us. not alone.
God is with us.
I say you are not alone. God is with you. I say you are not alone.
God is with us. Emmanuel.
Tell the devil, I am not alone.
God,
I may be surrounded, but I'm not alone.
Emmanuel.
I may be surrounded, but I am not alone. God is with
us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
I say you are not alone.
God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
I say you are not alone.
God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
Open your mouth and bless the Lord for what you have heard tonight. Bless the Lord for this service. Thank Him. Open your mouth and lavish your thanksgiving. Thank Him in other tongues. Thank Him in your words. I may be surrounded, but I'm not surrendered. I may be surrounded, but I'm not alone. We are not able. We are not able. You are not able. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you give me 5 minutes before we go? Psalms 34 verse 15. You are going to make a desperate cry to God today. Perhaps this is a preparation for the 3 days of divine visitation. I'm going to give you the next 2 minutes to cry, just 2 minutes to cry your life to God. I don't know who is here, but if you feel like you are surrounded, if you feel like there are too many challenges around, if you feel like the bodies around you are almost swallowing you up, you are going to cry to your Father. He said, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Oh God, deliver me. 2 minutes, open your mouth and pray. I said, open your mouth and cry. Oh God, help me. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, rescue me. Oh Lord, rescue me. Oh Lord, send help. Send help. Send help. Send help. Come on, pray. You have rescued my life. You have rescued my life. And I'll never go in there. Yes, Lord. You have rescued my life. Send your angel. Send your angel. Send me help from Zion. Send me help from Zion. In Jesus' name we pray. Psalms 20 from verse 1. Four verses, and I speak over your life, we are done tonight. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept all your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your according to your heart's desires and fulfill all your purpose. By the integrity of the word of God, I declare that this becomes your portion today. Anyone going through personal battles here, may Jehovah, who is called Ebenezer, the helper of the helpless, stretch his hand towards you tonight, this week, this month, this year, and send you deliverance instantly. Send you deliverance instantly. I declare from today, between now and the 3 days of divine visitation, may every battle around your life come to an end now. Come to an end now. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands and give Jesus. Are you blessed tonight? Father, we thank you. You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Encourage yourself with this word. Joy comes in the morning. Sing, son. Troubles, they don't last. But there's a friend of Jesus who wiped your tears. If your heart is broken tonight, look up to your Father and say,
just lift your hands and say,
him alone you can stand.
Him alone I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
Father, our lives are in your hands. Psalms 31 verse 15. Don't allow the devil to swallow anyone here. Don't allow men to mock them. Show up before it is over. Give them victory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's clap our hands for the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Amen. Give me a moment. Let me just make an altar call just before we leave. Everybody standing. When you hand over your heart to Jesus, he becomes in charge of the affairs of your life. It is then and only then that you can be ensured of safety. Christianity is not a joke. It's not today you are in and tomorrow you are out. Today you are on fire for God and you are backsliding tomorrow. Surrender your heart to him today. Let go of the weight that will not allow you to follow him. And let him become your champion. And let him fight for you.
You are here, you want to receive Jesus into your heart and be born again. Or you want to rededicate your life to Him afresh. Maybe you were a believer before, but you want to be serious with Him. Or there are things you are struggling with that will not allow you to serve the Lord. You want Him to break the yoke of those things and help you. Say this prayer after me wherever you are. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I receive you into my heart. And I declare that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Help me from today forward. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to pray for those who just made this prayer. You are now a child of God. You are born again. Please lift your right hand if you made this prayer with me. Unashamedly. Please lift your right hand wherever you are. Lift it up so I can see you. God bless you. I see some hands at the back. God bless you. See some other hands there. God bless you. Lift it up to Jesus. The one that is never ashamed of you. Now, while they are clapping, please run to the front. I want to pray for you. Come quickly. Jesus is calling you. It's a restoration for you today. He's calling you back home. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. He died that you will be saved. Keep clapping. They are still coming from behind. They are still coming. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in. When you are surrounded with problems and it feels like you will die, no matter what may come your way, your life is in your hands. Please stretch your hands towards this one. We are going to pray for them. I want you to release the blessing of God over them. Their lives have been altered. Their lives have been changed. They are now in the family of God. They are now in a kingdom where their defense and their safety is assured. They are in the kingdom of freedom, of liberty. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those of you in front, this is the best decision you've made. Please lift that same right hand to heaven as a sign of surrender. Father, I pray for these ones that their sins are forgiven and their names are written in the book of life. Their sins have been forgiven. They are born again. I decree from today that your Spirit will come into them, fill them, live in them, and empower them to be victorious over sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. In the name of Jesus. And I come against the forces of witchcraft. I come against the forces of darkness over their life. Every yoke that the enemy has placed on their life is broken. Every addiction that seems to hold them bound is broken. In the name of Jesus. I loose the chains that held them bound and I set them free. They will serve you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.